blessing us today. What an awesome privilege it is to be back with you this day. It's been a few years since my last time here, and it's always a joy to be back on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. I grew up not far from here, and to be honest with you, I would have come here if it were like it is today in those days, but things were a little different back in those days, and I was blessed to be able to go to Southwestern Seminary, and it was there that I got to meet several folks who are even in this place this day, and for that I'm grateful, such as Dr. and Mrs. Bush, Sheldon Alexander, and others who are here today as well. But I'm glad to be with you here today. What a great thing God is doing at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I want you to know how grateful pastors across the Southern Baptist Convention are for what God is doing here. And we give thanks to the Lord for that, not only for what's happening here, but in all of our Southern Baptist seminaries. I am delighted to be able to speak to you today. It's always an awesome opportunity to share a word for our Lord and about our Lord, and I do not take that lightly. So thank you for letting me be here today. Thank you for coming today. I know you had a choice, and I appreciate you making that choice today. I know that many of you do not know me, and you're often wondering when you come to a chapel, what's this person like? What's he stand for? What's he going to say? Is there anything I'll be able to take home with me today? And I think those are legitimate questions. And since I do not know most of you personally, let me just tell you a little bit about where I stand on a very few items that might help you have a level of comfort with me and be able to receive the message I have for you today perhaps a little more easily. I will tell you, I believe in a virgin, born, pure, living, vicarious, dying, bodily resurrected, gloriously ascended, presently interceding Son of God. I love Jesus Christ with all my heart and love to talk to people lost and saved about Him anywhere, anytime, anyhow. I believe in a sin-revealing, power-granting, truth-teaching Holy Spirit who gives us daily infilling as we will allow that from our Lord. I believe in a loving Heavenly Father who is ever-present, always forgiving, and always loving, the lover of my and your souls who wants to redeem the lost and to strengthen the saved. And I believe in His Word, and I believe His Word is like He is, like God the Father, God the Son, godly Holy Spirit, in its perfectness, in its power, in its purpose to redeem the world. And so that's where I stand and what I believe. So what have I come to share with you today? I have come to tell you today that we are in desperate need of ministers of the gospel who will speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Now, I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to where that is found in Ephesians 4, verse 15. But let me begin with a story that I think relates to this particular issue. I heard some time back of an older lady who, about this time every year, went out to buy gifts for her children and her grandchildren. She had gotten quite weary of that arduous task, and so she decided one year that instead of doing that, she was going to buy a set of money orders and give all her children and her grandchildren a very generous sum of money in this money order. And so she went out and she bought a big stack of them, bought Christmas cards, and came back in and sat down at her desk and wrote out all the cards to all the children, the grandchildren, and wrote in there the phrase, "Buy your own gift," sealed up the cards, and sent them out. Weeks after Christmas, she's come back to her desk to clean it up, and lo and behold, she discovers the stack of money orders that she had never sent out with the cards. So every child and grandchild got a Christmas card, and it said, "Buy your own gift," without the money in it. As tragic as that may seem, in a spiritual sense, I am convinced that we have told our world to buy your own gift. They need redemption, but we have not told them how to receive redemption. They need a Christmas gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have not told them how they might receive that gift. We have kept the gift from them. We have not allowed them to know how they might experience the redemption of their souls. And I am convinced that God's messengers, and you are among God's messengers, desperately need to know how to do that. And so today I want to share with you that we need to speak the truth in love. First of all, let me tell you, we need to speak the truth. If there were ever a time when we needed it anymore, it is now. We desperately need men and women who will tell the truth. You know as well as I that our society has swallowed Satan's lies so totally that indeed we've lost our moral compass, that we're in a world in a day and time in which people do not understand right from wrong. They have lost all sense of understanding of right and wrong, and so they have followed that slippery slope toward hell, fire, and damnation. And we're experiencing a generation of people that are lost and are going to hell at best, and at worst, and at best, are experiencing total moral anarchy. And one person said, rightly so, that if there ever was a time we needed the truth, it is now, because not only have we lost all sense of moral compass, we've also lost common sense. One national newspaper said the other day, gave out some awards for the 2002 Victims Awards of people who have lost all sense of common sense in claiming their victim status. One set of supersized teenagers were suing McDonald's because they said they had enticed them into their restaurant to eat fat-filled burgers every day for 5 years, thus making them the weight that they were. So it was the fault of McDonald's. How about this other situation in Santa Monica, California, where a principal said no longer will you be able to play the game of tag in school anymore because not every child can win, and that hurts the self-esteem of those who do not win, so we'll never have that game again here. How about some other situations? Dr. Peter Singer, who is the bioethicist from Princeton, who is also known as Dr. Death, who said, we have hurt dogs and cats in our world because of our speciesism, claiming that human beings are more important than animals. That has hurt the value of animals in our world. Now, isn't that pitiful? Isn't that sad? I'm so sorry. And then how about the Somali warlord who saw Black Hawk Down and was offended by his portrayal, and he's going to sue the United States government for that movie showing him the way he was in Somalia. Well, bless his heart. How about the hockey player in Western Canada who is suing his league for $300,000 because he did not win the Most Valuable Player award? His father said it ruined his love for ice hockey. Bless his heart. If you don't agree with me, we are in a world of hurt because our world has lost its sense of common sense. It's lost its sense of moral composure. It's lost it all. And so what does the Bible say in Ephesians 4:15? After we read our job description as ministers, and it's right there, then he says in verse 15, 16, and 17, the God-intended result of maturity, look there and you'll see, right in the middle of it, in verse 15 he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, each part doing its work. So the Bible says, speak in love the truth. And so the Bible commands that we must speak the truth. Now this is an interesting little passage. Because you see, English text has a great deal of difficulty translating it. Why? Because there is no English verb for truth. Literally, this text in the Greek says, truthing in love. And so what is it saying? As best we can understand it in English, it's saying that your life should be a life of truth. That the way you talk, the way you act, the way you relate, you should do it in love. So Paul says we need to be truthing in love. That our life should be sincere and without diversion that would divide our allegiance. It should be without hypocrisy that would destroy our witness. It should be without any kind of division that would destroy our Christian witness together. And so the Bible says we need to truth in love. There is no greater need than ever for men and women to speak the truth. Let me tell you something. Our churches are in desperate need of hearing the truth. The Bible says in John 8, the truth will set you free. And our world is in desperate need of hearing the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, most of us in this place today would stand up and say, well, wait a minute, Brother Frank, I speak the truth. Well, let me ask you something. When you're preaching in a pulpit, do you preach that which you know will get the loudest amens, or do you preach the truth of God whether they want to hear it or not? Do you hold back from talking about certain sins because you know some people in your church may not want to hear that? Do you hold back from saying certain things because it may not be as socially acceptable as you would like? What we desperately need today In the pulpit are people who will speak the truth of God. We need less people pleasers and more prophets in the pulpit. We need less chaplains and more champions in the pulpit. That's what we desperately need. There is a lack of leadership in the pulpits around our nation, and it basically boils down to a lack of courage. And I challenge you today to speak the truth, to speak the truth of God's word wherever you are, because our world desperately needs that compass that will hold us true and hold us together. Speak the truth. But quickly, let's see that we also need to speak the truth in love. We need to speak the truth in love. You see, the world has written us off. It's marginalized us as country bumpkins who are incapable of serious thought. The caricature of a Bible-pounding, tirade-issuing forth preacher is a part of American thought. And they have placed us aside and given us absolutely no credence, because I am convinced oftentimes while we have spoken the truth, we have not done so in love. And so the world does not listen to us anymore. Listen to me and listen to me well. The church that you will be privileged to serve in will not listen to harsh tirades unless they know that you love them. And when they know that you will love them and that you are there for them and that you will live or die for them as Christ did, they will listen to whatever truth you have to share from the Word of God. But if that comes out as a harshness from you and you do not love them and they do not sense that you love them, they will not listen to you. And the lost people today that are in our world today will not listen to us if we speak to them the truth without it being encompassed in the loving motivation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to speak the truth in love. You see, the Bible tells us and teaches us that speaking the truth in love is agape love. That's the Greek word there, and it means love without limit, love without end, love without condition. Listen to me and listen to me well. As a pastor who has been out there a long time, I see a changing movement in our world and in our nation. The demographics have all changed, and I'm telling you the way we have been doing it is not working. George Barna is right, by the way, when he said in the United States of America there are 325,000 Protestant churches, there are 1,200 Christian radio stations, 300 Christian TV stations, 300 Christian colleges. In the last 8 years, we have spent $250 billion in domestic ministry, and there has been a zero increase in born-again Christian adults in this country. What we are doing is not working. And we as God's leaders need to relearn how to speak to people. And the Bible says we must speak the truth, but we must do it in love. I challenge you, I encourage you, I exhort you today to be a minister of the gospel who speaks the truth in that way. You see, the early church was met with persecution. The church of today is met with a yawn. And may we repent for our irrelevance. We have become irrelevant to the people around us, and they look at us as if they're looking straight through us. Gone are the days when the church was the institution that people listened to and looked to for guidance. And I believe it can be recaptured if God's people will speak the truth in love. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be seasoned with grace and salt, so that you'll be able to give an answer to everyone. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders." Speak the truth in love is the word from God to us today. I pastor in Greenville, South Carolina, in that area. And it's the home of two very fascinating institutions. I won't go into that right now, but if you know anything about that area, you know this home of one of the most liberal schools on the face of God's earth. A school that I believe will love you to a degree, but where you'll never hear the truth. You'll never hear the truth. And then there's another institution in my area where you hear the truth. One of the most conservative. It makes that school makes Paige Patterson look very, very shady and liberal. I'm going to tell you that. Not a Baptist school. But you'll hear the truth, but you will not hear it in love. God says, I want God's men and women to speak the truth in love. You see, the truth without love leads to liberalism. Love without the truth, truth without love leads to legalism. God wants us to speak the truth in love. And I believe people in our world today will listen to the gospel when we speak the truth the way God wants us to. I challenge you today to be a minister of the gospel who speaks the truth, never worrying about whether people are going to like it or not, because you're speaking the truth. But make sure you're speaking it with a heart that says, I love you. I love you. And I'm going to go the distance with you. And I'm going to make a relationship with you. And I'm going to be your friend whether you accept Christ or not. I'm going to love you. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometime back, I had a young man confess that he was a homosexual and that it was God ordained and that he would never give up his homosexual lifestyle, but he wanted to be a member of our church. I said, would you allow me to pray with you about this and see that God has, see what God's word? Nope. Already been there, done that, not going to do that again. I said, well, let me tell you something. You will never be a member of this church with that kind of attitude. I want to talk to you about how God can set you free. Oh, no, I don't want a part of that. I'll tell you something. I went and shared with my deacons that. They told me, oh, Pastor, we're behind you. I said, listen, I don't need you behind me on that. God's word's behind me on that. I don't need your help. But I need you to know that I spoke to this young man in love, because he's going to tell otherwise. But I want you to know I wept with him, and I cried with him, and I said, I love you, but we will not back away from the truth of God's word. Speak the truth in love. The next time you preach, you come down off that pulpit, you say, did I speak the truth today? God, did I speak the truth? And you ask at the same time, God, did I speak the truth in love? Next time you witness to a lost man, boy, a girl, woman, you say, did I speak the truth? Did I speak it in love? Next time you have a conversation with your friends, did I speak the truth? Did I speak it in love? Next time you speak to your wife, your husband, did I speak the truth? But did I do it in love? When you're talking to your precious boys and girls, did I speak the truth? But did I do it in love? We hold fast to this principle. It will revolutionize our witnessing, our pastoring, our preaching, everything that we are and everything that we do. Speak the truth in love. Father God, we thank you that your word is always true. Forgive us, Lord, for our irrelevance. Forgive us, Father, for not showing the world the truth. Forgive us for the fact that they've written us off because of our own inadequacies. But may we speak the truth in love. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen.